Ursula Goodenough is one of America's leading cell biologists. She teaches biology at Washington University and is the author of a book called The Sacred Depths of Nature. Steve Paulson asked Goodenough if she was too deeply rooted in science to believe in God.
I don't know whether belief in God implies that you're irrational. I just don't find the question very interesting, actually. There's so much that I find compelling about the universe and the world and people and evolution and all of that stuff, just everything that is, that I don't have any feeling nor any intimation that there's something else in addition to this. But I don't call myself an atheist because I don't not believe in God, and I'm not a theist because I believe in God. I call myself a non-theist because I'm religious without really orienting myself in that question at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find it interesting that you said that you don't see that actually to be a very interesting question. I mean, I think that's even for people who would say they are not religious or not theistic, they would, I think, usually respond in a different way, that for whatever reason they can't accept the idea of God. It just, you know, somehow it doesn't ring true to them. Is that, do you think that's true for you, that it just, there's something that seems false about it to you, at least at a personal level?
Some people I know, they say, I've always believed in God. God is, you know, just obvious that there's God. That's not obvious to me, and maybe there's something wrong with me, or maybe there's something wrong with them. But anyway, from my perspective, the whole religious quest can, and I think should, start with this world, these things. Whether one believes that they are created by God or not, there's a lot of religious potential just in what it is that we understand, and that if we all get on that page and pay attention to that, then at the end of the day, those who see all of this as coming from God can frame it that way, and those who don't frame it that way. And we could be a lot farther along as a planetary community if we could somehow let that question be one that's a personal one rather than one that we're all bent out of shape about.
In your book, The Sacred Depths of Nature, you mention an experience you once had when you were about 20 years old. You'd taken a physics class, and when you looked up at the night sky during a camping trip once, you were overwhelmed by a feeling of pointlessness. Can you describe what happened?
Yeah, I had just sort of, until then, thought about the world like a good 50s girl, you know, that somehow there was a sky that was round on top and had stars on it. I just hadn't any encounter with scientific understandings at all. So when I took this physics class and learned how large the universe was, and of course, in those days, it was a lot smaller than what we understand now, I suddenly realized that I was no longer thinking of our place as being this cute little round planet with a sky over it, that the whole thing was huge and immense and that the sun was going to go out and all of these other things I'd learned. And I got very, very upset and disoriented and fearful, terrified, actually. That stayed with me for a long time until I was able to work through it.
So how did you work through it?
Well, I realized that the real problem was that I was trying to find some point in it and some point particularly for me, and that what I could do instead was to just realize that why there is anything at all, why the universe is here, why I'm here, is a mystery, and that mysteries are not terrifying. They're just things that you don't understand. Once I did that, then I was in a place where I could just take the whole story and take, you know, quarks and electrons and galaxies and everything and just say, okay, this is the way it is. Don't know why, but wow, it's pretty amazing. And lucky me to be a part of it.
So if you strip away the devotional language of God, which obviously doesn't really work for you, do you think your experience of awe and wonder is basically the same as that of the Christian or the Muslim?
Well, of course, we all have an N of one as to how spiritual, you know, I know how I feel when I'm in a very spiritual place, and then I hear other people talking about what they feel like, and it sounds pretty much the same to me, but I'm not in their mind and heart, so I can only make the extrapolation. But I certainly would have no trouble with that claim. I mean, someday we may have fMRI scans of people in various religious states and we'll be able to compare it better. I mean, certainly what people describe is, you know, being moved to tears, being moved to shame, being moved to exaltation. These are experiences that I have in the context of just being a creature on this planet.
I want to talk about the science that you study. You are a cell biologist, and a lot of religious people say the transition from non-life to life, from chemical compounds to biology, is miraculous. Do you see this as a miraculous process?
No. I mean, it depends on one's definition of miracle. If miracle is defined as something that cannot happen by natural processes and must have some outside influence, God or whatever, then I don't see the origin of life as being a miracle in that sense. I think that there are lots of scenarios out there now that present plausible steps going from non-life to life. We'll never know probably whether any of those scenarios mimics what actually happened. But the point is that scenarios can be articulated that don't require outside intervention, i.e. they can occur via what we know about what nature is able to do.
What's the most plausible scenario to you for how life first came into being?
Well, I'm most influenced and have actually helped develop an idea called the auto cell, for whom most of the credit goes to a neuroscientist at the University of California at Berkeley called Terry Deacon. But the idea is that in an environment with energy-rich molecules, and there are many of those environments both on our planet and out in outer space, that they could come together, create what are called autocatalytic cycles, then become encapsulated, and the capsules break apart and reform, and new substrates coming into these capsules would allow these things to evolve, i.e. change what kinds of compounds they were able to make. And you could get something like this going and then set up an informational system that encodes the various processes, something that would then evolve into the modern DNA RNA system.
Now, obviously, you don't buy into the idea of divine intervention, that God got this whole thing going, but I want to return back to that notion of the miraculous. Is that an idea that is meaningful to you in any way?
You know, one way of saying it is that a religious person, in the sense you're using the term, who believes in God and who believes that God had something to do with creating the flower, versus my view, where the flower is part of what happened during this astonishing evolutionary process. I would hope that when we're actually taking in the flower, that we're overwhelmed by its beauty and by its improbability and by the miracle that it's there, and that this person and I would have a very similar response to the flower. We might not have the same interpretation of how the flower got there. But otherwise, I think we could have very similar responses.
Ursula Goodenough teaches biology at Washington University. She's one of America's leading cell biologists and the author of The Sacred Depths of Nature.